Matthew, the 11th chapter. One of the things we're missing in our society today, it seems, is shame, right? I mean, we're not ashamed of anything. We're missing a burden for sin, and I want to talk to you about that burden. I want to talk to you about why it is, I believe, that many times people that we talk to are not receptive to the gospel, and why it is many times as Christians, we're not receptive to drawing closer to the Lord, to walking with a greater walk with the Lord. And it's because I believe that we simply do not understand what sin is, what all of that sin encompasses. Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 28, it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Let's pray. Father, we ask that as we look at this passage of Scripture, we will see your great love and compassion for us, for our world, for those around us. Lord, help us to see sin as the burden, as the cumbersome thing that it is, and help it to weigh heavy upon our hearts and our lives. Help us to see its destructive nature, and why it's so important that we give the gospel to a lost and dying world, lest sin go undefeated in their lives. And Father, we'll thank and praise you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you about this burden of sin. I want you to think for a moment of what it means for sin to be in control of our eternal destiny. The Bible describes it, Jesus just very simply says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." He's describing our condition apart from Christ. This is prior to coming to Christ. Sin is a burden. Sin weighs heavy upon all humanity. And until we can see sin as the great burden that it is, then it's difficult for us to see any reason, any desire to come to Christ and rid ourselves of this great burden. So I want to talk to you about this burden of sin and why it ought to be that you and I would pay attention to it. First, let's note, you already know this answer, let's note that there is a price for sin. Everyone, the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us have been touched by sin. And every one of us struggle with sin. Even those of us who know Christ our Savior, we have this flesh that is still battling the spirit, and there's a constant war going on, and sin's still having its impact. But prior to Christ, sin is a rampage in our lives. The Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. Sin has a price. Do you realize that your grandchildren who have not yet come to Christ have one future, one, a place in hell separated from God for all eternity, while they will burn and suffer forever unless they come to Christ? That's true of your brother. That's true of your mom, your dad, your children. We need to understand the great impact that sin has. Sin has a price. And the wages, the payment of sin is death. When Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden," he is telling you, and all of the unsaved world especially, telling us that here is what it is like to be without salvation. Sin is dragging us down. It's pulling us down. Sin is a burden. It is a labor. It is a difficulty for us to carry around. In fact, we cannot do it. Sin has such a destructive nature that the Bible says it affects things like this. Sin affects our reputation. Sin will destroy our reputation. If we do not deal with sin, by the way, can I talk to us as Christians for a moment? Because I believe that Christians were living weak, anemic Christian lives for the same reason. Because we do not see sin as the great burden that it is. We've forgotten that sin has a destructive nature. The Bible calls this phenomenon a searing of the conscience. So the Holy Spirit of God, whether it's an unsaved person out there, and the Holy Spirit of God is saying, you need to come to Christ, you need to get rid of this burden. Or whether it's as Christians who have shouldered again the sin that Christ has already forgiven us of, and we're trying to carry it around in this life, and the Holy Spirit of God is saying, nope, put off that old man, renew your thinking, and put on this new man. If we do not understand what sin is and the nature of sin, and we forget, our conscience becomes seared, and the Holy Spirit of God is actively out there right now, at this moment, speaking to someone's heart, saying, you need to confess this sin and get rid of it. And you're not even aware that the Holy Spirit of God is talking to you. Because we've forgotten that sin has a destructive nature. Sin destroys our reputation. Sin destroys our health. You realize, I know you do, you remember this, that had Adam and Eve not sinned, they would be here, maybe not here in Indianapolis, Indiana, but they would be on this planet with us today. Apart from sin, there was no death. Sin bringeth forth death. And apart from sin, there was no death. Adam and Eve would still be alive. Now, I know things would be totally different. You can't rewrite history, and we may not be here like ourselves because our parents may not have ever met, and I know how all that works. But still, you get the idea that sin brings this great destruction. And until we see sin for what it is, then we will be willing to walk under the burden of sin because we've forgotten that sin was a burden. It's kind of like, can I get really personal for a minute? It's kind of like when you put on that 25 pounds over the last 10 years and you've already forgotten what it was like. I mean, you get up now and you don't even remember that you used to be able to walk much further, much faster. But you've forgotten because you've gotten accustomed to carrying around the extra burden. And then something happens, you get sick, or something happens and you get really determined, you're going to take off the weight, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, I don't know why I have all this energy. I can help you out here. You understand? I mean, this is the way it works. Sin is that way. It's a burden, and it's weighing us down, but we get so accustomed to it that we're used to going to church and hearing the Word of God preached and not responding to anything that the Holy Spirit has to say, and we walk back out and we're accustomed to living with the circumstance of our sin. This morning, I want us to reconsider that sin is a burden. And Christ is saying to us, come, all ye that labor and are heavy. Are you just tired of what it's doing to your life? Are you tired of it? Dad, are you tired of what the internet has done to your spiritual walk? You're just getting sick of dealing with it. It is to you that Christ says, come, I'll show you what freedom from that means. Are you tired, Mom, of that burden of gossip, of that burden of frustration and bitterness, whatever it might happen to be? Christ is saying, let me show you how I can help that burden, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He will take that upon himself. Not only is sin, does sin have a great price, but sin never stops in one spot. You remember, this sermon has been around longer than I've been born, so that's a long time. The Bible says, or the sermon outline goes something like this. Sin will always take you further than you wanted to go, keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and cost you more than you wanted to pay. I mean, that sermon's been around forever. You know why? Because it's true. That's why. It preaches again and again and again. Sin never just sits still. It's not like, oh, I can live with this sin. No, you can't. You can't. Because it's constantly destroying bits and pieces of you that you're not recognizing, just like you don't realize what that extra weight was doing to your knees until your doctor says, it's time. We'll have surgery and then maybe. Okay, you get the idea? And you don't realize it. It's happening, but it's happening without you realizing. And sin is not content with being one spot. It gets worse and worse and worse. It's kind of like, remember Joseph in the Bible? And his brothers said, hey, we're tired of him. Let's just make fun of him. And they made fun of him for a while. And then they pushed him away and pushed him away for a while. Then they said, let's kill him. I mean, wow. I mean, just it keeps getting worse and worse and worse and worse. That's what sin does. Sin isn't content with just having a small portion of our heart. Sin is a jealous lover. It's greedy. And it wants all of us. And it's fighting for us. That's why, do you notice that there is a war between our flesh and the spirit? It's not because they're sitting still. It's because the flesh is taking up arms against what God is trying to accomplish. Sin has a great price. And sin does not sit still. It continues on, gets worse. Like a cancer. What does cancer do? Metastasizes. That's what I was looking for. It's that. It just gets worse and worse and worse. And Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Not only that, but sin, beyond having that concept of it will not sit still, sin also becomes worse and worse, but it affects every area of our life. Sin spreads throughout. Do you remember the story of Achan in the Bible? Achan said, I'm going to take this. It's just a garment. It's just a small piece of treasure. No big deal. I'll just take it, and I'll keep it to myself personally. Remember? The whole nation, the whole camp of the people of Israel were impacted because Achan would not deal with his sin. And Dad, if you think that your family is going to miss out on the scathing impact of sin that you are holding on to stubbornly, you're wrong. Your family will pay the price, because that's what sin does. It's not content to sitting right here and having one spot. It spreads itself out. Churches are destroyed by unconfessed sin. Families are destroyed by unconfessed sin. Sin has a huge impact. And I want us, as Americans, we have lost the burden of sin. We're content to carry around the extra weight. In Hebrews chapter 12, we are told by God to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. But we become content to carrying it around. And we've forgotten how it's impacting us. And we don't see that it's slowing us down. And we don't see that it's destroying our joints and hurting our heart and all these other things. We're not seeing it. We're just carrying it around. And here is sin. And it's slowing down the spiritual growth of our kids. It's crippling our marriages. And we don't see it. And this morning, I want us to see it for what it is. Not so that I can point a finger and say, ha ha. It is so that we can come to Christ, the one who will remove that burden from us, the one whose yoke is easy and his burden is light. Sin has a huge impact. Not only that, listen to what John chapter 8 says. Sin is powerful. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin, listen to this, is the servant of sin. There are some, now here, hear me out. You know, I say this because I'm an expert on sin. Do you understand? I'm not an expert on it because I've studied it. I'm an expert on it because I am just like you. I carry it around too. But here's what the Bible literally says. If we allow sin to stay in our lives, it is because sin is telling us what to do. Sin has grabbed us by the nose and is dragging us around. We have become the servant of sin. I'll prove it to you. Repent of it and forsake it this morning. You say, I'm not sure I'm ready. That's my point. Do you get the idea? If you and I are sitting here this morning and having the struggle, the very struggle is proof that sin has become our master. That sin is in control. That's what Jesus says. If we yield ourselves to sin, then we are the servants of sin. And what we have is a God who wants to be our master. There's an old song. I hate when songs come in my head in the middle of a sermon. Sin was my master with death as wages. You guys know that song? Caught in the clutches of guilt and shame. Then Jesus found me and loosed my shackles. I am alive in Jesus' name. Something like that. I don't remember exactly. That's the bad part about doing that. All right, so you get the idea. We do not want to be controlled by sin. Are you burdened by sin? There's one more thing. Not only is sin all of these other things, but I'm going to emphasize yet again that sin is a plague. The Bible describes sin as a plague. And here's the idea of a plague, that it's hard to get rid of, and it rots to putrefaction everything it touches. I mean, think about what plagues did, just the 10 plagues of Egypt, all the horrors that it brought onto people's lives. This is what sin does. Sin isn't something to be messed around with. There's a story told of a little kid in the jungles of Africa, went out and found a baby leopard, and he brought it back to the village. And it was so cute, and it was so helpless, and so mom and dad helped him to nurse this baby leopard and try to keep it alive. And the village chieftain came by and said, "Do not keep this leopard." "Oh no, it's not a problem. It's not, we're just going to keep it until it's old enough to go out on its own and take care of itself." No, he says, "Little leopards become big leopards, and big leopards kill." Remember that story? You've heard this story before. And time passes. And this young kid and this now not so little leopard have become best of friends. And the chief comes by and says, "Get rid of that leopard. Little leopards become big leopards, and big leopards kill." But, you know, whatever the kid's name is, loves him so much, we don't want to have to break them up now. And besides, he's actually a protector. Watch. He keeps him from getting hurt, and et cetera, et cetera. He watches over him. "I'm just warning you." And one day, now this leopard is a big leopard. And he and the boy go out into the woods. And the woods, and in the jungle, he falls and scratches his knee. And the leopard comes over and, in a way of comforting the child, licks the blood from the wound. And something happens. And that leopard rips that boy to shreds. And the chief says, "I tried to tell you, little leopards become big leopards, and big leopards kill." And right now you may say, "I've got my sin under control, Pastor John. It's not that big a deal. It's really not impacting in the ways that you've described." And let me be the one to say to you, little sins become big sins. And big sins will destroy your life. And I want that sin to become a burden. Like Christian of old in the Pilgrim's Progress, so that sin has become such a burden that we're just dragging it around. We're looking for the opportunity to get rid of the burden. And this morning, there is a Savior who is saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Are you tired of carrying it around yet? You're here this morning, you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior. To a person, everyone that is here, God is saying to all of you, come. He loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son so that all of you would have the opportunity to hear this plea from his word. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden." And the God who is in heaven, who cannot lie, has promised that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The God who cannot lie has made a promise that believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The burden of sin can be lifted from your shoulders, can be lifted from your spiritual shoulders. And you can know a peace that passes understanding, a yoke that is easy and a burden that is light, because Christ will take upon himself your sin. He has. He's done so. And he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So if you're here this morning, you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior, there's a God in heaven whose great desire is for you to know his Son as your Savior. He loves you this much. He loves you so much that he's gotten you here this morning for this message so that you can know what it means to be burdened, free from your burden of sin. Christian, are you still carrying around this burden? You know, why is it that we have come to the Savior and he has taken our burden, and then before we actually kind of moved on, we said, wait a minute, I kind of want to keep this one. And we've allowed ourselves to be burdened yet again. We're Christians. We're on our way to heaven. But we're burdened by sin. And sin is having all of its destructive nature playing itself out in our lives, in our reputation, in the way that we're living. And there's a Savior who's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. June 5th, 1977, I was a 16-year-old kid sitting in a church choir, much like this one. I was in church. I'd been going to church for several years. I knew about the gospel, but I had never trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. If you were to ask me, John, do you think you're going to heaven? I'd say, yes. And you'd say, why? What are you depending on to get you to heaven? And I would have said things like, well, I go to church. I'm a good person. I've been baptized. And I was counting on all of these things to get me to heaven. But the Bible says it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And I remember the preacher was preaching about Christ and knowing Christ your Savior. And I remember that the Holy Spirit of God was nudging my heart. But everyone, it was a church about this size, everyone sitting out there thought I was a Christian. And pride was in the way. And I was struggling. I did not want to admit that I'd been playing a game and pretending to be something that I was not. But I remember finally, after the burden of sin was just too great on my heart and my conscience was working and the Holy Spirit of God was speaking, that I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to step out. Give me a chance here. And I stepped out of the choir and I went down and I sat down on the front row. I stood. We were all standing. It was the invitation time. We're singing the invitation hymn. And I'm standing on the front row, and it was the Holy Spirit of God saying, John, go and trust me. And I was struggling. And I did not want to give in because I was afraid of what people would think. But the burden was getting greater as I was standing there. I couldn't take the burden anymore. And I went to the altar, and I fell on the altar, and I said, Lord, if you want me to get saved, have somebody come pray with me. I always laugh at that statement right now. If you want me to get saved. Hello. I only wanted you to get saved badly enough that I sent my only son to die for you, John. And now that you've come this far, I'm going to leave you alone. No, that's not the kind of God that we have. And I'm kneeling at the altar. And this church full of people who thought I was a Christian let me pray. And my prayer was, God, if you want me to get saved, have someone come and pray with me. And we had a guy visiting our church that day. It was a Faith Baptist Church in Avon. A guy visiting our church, sitting about where Miss Sue is. His name was David Nolan. I'd never met him before. I've only met him twice in my whole life. That morning and 3 years later, he was a missionary visiting our church. And he saw that there was some kid up at the altar and nobody was praying with him. He stepped out, came over, put his arm around me. And that morning, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I found out what it was like to have the burdens lifted at Calvary. And my life was changed forever. And I have, on occasion, brought back a burden and started carrying it around again because I've forgotten what it was like to be burden-free. And I'm so thankful that my Savior was so patient as to say, John, come on, give me that burden too. I'll carry it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please.